Moses was on the backside of a desert. And he came to a bush. And it was burning. Wasn't consumed. And God called out to him, and he told Moses, he said, "Take off your shoes. The place where you're standing is holy ground." That's the first time the word holy is used in the Scriptures. Almighty God met with an object of His mercy in a mediator. That burning bush was Christ. That little bramble bush that looked weak and frail, but it burned, wasn't consumed. Taking off his shoes was symbolic of putting on reverence before God and approaching Him only in a substitute. This is the way that God told Moses that he would be approached in holiness. Holiness. When we begin to think of the attributes of God, what we're saying is those qualities about God that's only attributed to Him essentially. Holiness. The Scripture sets forth that holiness is the Lord. He's a holy God. The Holy Scriptures set forth the holy God. Now, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to teach us of the holy God. Holy. We hear that word. We use it. We say it. But whenever it comes to the absolute understanding of it, we're lost. Just the contemplation of it. This is the reaction of coming and starting to have some kind of understanding of holiness. This is what it is. Job said it. He said, "I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." God is holy. That's what I want to look at tonight for just a few minutes. And I've thought about this all day. What am I going to say about the holiness of God? I don't even feel... number one, to say that I'm not worthy to be standing here talking about it is an understatement. But holiness is that attribute of God, like all of His attributes. I plan to look in this study, this is part of that study, the God that we worship. Immutability. I want to look at God's immutability. I can say it. I can use the word and I can say God doesn't change. And That's as far as my understanding goes. Holiness. How do you set forth the holiness of God? Holiness is that purity or the state of His nature. He is the standard of holiness. What that means is what He wills is holy, is pure, is right. What He says is holy. What He does is holy. And there's no questions about it. Romans 9. I'll read this to you. Romans chapter 9, verse 13, 14. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God chose to love one, and He chose to hate another. That's right. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Holiness, essential to God only. Isaiah, let me read this to you. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings, and with twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. With twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. We don't explain holiness. We bow to the fact that God Almighty declares Himself holy, right, pure. And what He does is holy, for He is holy. Isaiah 57:15 says, For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And all that that name is. It brings us to a point, as Job said, we just bow to it. We read His Scriptures, we hear His Word preached, we hear that what is said concerning the Lord, what He does and when He does it and how He does it. And we say, Lord, You're holy. We don't question Him. Jacob have I loved. Without holy love. Without His love being holy love, then Him loving Jacob and hating Esau would be unfair. What's the difference in those two boys? They had not done one thing before birth, before they were born, neither having done good nor evil. If holy love is not attached, is not realized, is not understood, then you say, well, that's not fair. His wrath, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. If it's not holy wrath, then it's just cruelty. His wrath is holy. His love is holy. His grace is holy. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Without holiness, His grace would be just empty pity. What He does is right. It's holy. It's pure. And the reason that men find fault with it is that they don't believe God's holy. They do attribute unfairness to Him, cruelty to Him. Why would He wipe out? Why would He send? Why would He send damnation and fire? And why? Why? Because He's holy. His holiness and purity and sacredness is the rule of all of His actions. Psalm 19, 8 to 9 says, "The statutes, the orders of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments, the commands of the Lord are is pure, enlightening the eyes." Why does God send one here and another here? And why does God cause one to be raised up and another one's put down? Why does God make one well and one sick? Why? Because He's holy. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, the verdict of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. The verdict. Was it right for God to love Jacob? Yes. Was it right for God to hate Esau? Yes. What made it right? God did it. He's holy. Praying now that I speak respectfully. No other attribute is spoken of more solemnly or frequently than His holiness. The greatest display that I can think of, and I still continue with that, I pray I speak respectfully here. The greatest display that I can comprehend with my little fickle mind is the day of Calvary. Listen to this, Psalm 22. I'll read it again to you. Psalm 22. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent, but Thou art holy. Oh, Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ, the surety, God-man, mediator. He cried out under the weight of divine wrath against sin. This was truly His words. Here He is as the representative. There's the substitute. There's the Lamb. There's God's Lamb. Made sin. Hanging upon that cross. He's been beaten, spit on, beard plucked out, whipped, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, forsaken of God, forsaken of God and men. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Never did He lose sight of His relationship to His Father or His Father's character. My God, You're holy. Oh, that I might be brought by the Spirit of God to remember that when He leads me providentially wherever He leads me. Lord, You're holy. And to bow to that and have a heart that's made tender toward His holiness, that He's right. God's holiness forbids him to turn a blind eye to sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. And Christ was made sin. He was made the guiltiness. In Himself, He who knew no sin was made sin. Here again, we are truly over our heads as far as understanding. But that He was actually made sin, yes, He was. He was actually made sin. God forsook Him. If He was not made sin, then God killed an innocent man. He died. He died. His soul was made an offering for sin. Rather than God's holiness be compromised, the surety must die. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. By one man, sin entered in this world and death by sin. You know, this world thinks of sin as nothing more than just a mistake or a defect. And when we start talking about sin, we talk about sin, and really what we're talking about as a general rule are the effects of it. We're talking about the evidences of it. We're talking about the manifestations of it. We're talking about the transgressions that are committed. We're talking about sins, transgressions that are committed because of sin. Now, sin, though we may define it, which I'm going to make a couple of statements as far as what the Scripture says as defining it. But I can't explain it. How do you explain what the Scriptures has not explained? It's defined it. And I'll tell you what I mean by this. If I tried to explain it, I'll end up explaining it away. Because I'm not going to set it forth in its heinousness. Romans 6:6 says that it's a body. It's a body. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Sin is a parasite. Sin is an intruder that mysteriously invaded this world. And it defiled man and earth and the heavens, just everything. The earth was cursed because of this monster that nobody seems to think anything of. It just that it's not really that big a deal. It's a destroyer that promises life and it pays in death. Sin. Now here's the definition that I can define it, but I can't explain it. It's the violation of God's law. That's what it says. Sin is a transgression of the law. Can you explain that to me? I defined it. Transgression of God's law. Listen, let me tell you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging upon the cross, God Almighty knew God Almighty only knew what was going on. He was made sin. We quote 2 Corinthians 5:21 often. And I have no understanding of what He did. I have no understanding of what He was made. Sin. That intruder, that monster, that parasite, that body that He was made. He was made the essence of it. That God dealt with the essence of it. The essence of what sin is. Concerning all of His elect, He was made sin. You know, people say, well, you're saying He was a sinner. No. That's talking about transgressions. He was made sin. Why did God forsake Him? Because God's holy. And He is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Canst not look on iniquity. So man's acceptance before God is founded on God's holiness. I tell you, by His holiness, we're assured of salvation. Listen to this scripture. Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. What oath was that? Here it is. Psalm 89:35-36. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, unto the spiritual David, unto Christ. His seed shall endure forever, and His throne as the sun before me. Holiness. Having sworn by His holiness. This is what He's saying. I'm swearing by what I am. Holiness. I've sworn by my holiness. He said, if I fail to save all that I've everlastingly loved, if I fail to secure, if I fail to bring unto myself by my Son, by my Lamb, if I fail to save all that I've everlastingly loved and chosen in my Son, if I fail, then I am not holy. I've sworn by my holiness, by my purity, by my rightness. His elect, chosen, redeemed, called, and preserved, all according to holiness. And I can't even enter into what it is. Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praising, doing wonders? Can I read a verse of Scripture in closing? And this is what I'd like for us to do as we contemplate His holiness. Habakkuk 2:20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Just be quiet. God is holy. Let's stand together.